Okay, let's have a word of prayer real quick, and then we'll get started. Take a bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for this awesome day that you've given us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We adore you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I know for some it doesn't seem like you're real, Lord, but you're always there. You said you'll never leave us, never forsake us. The Holy Spirit is meeting with us here this morning to touch those hearts that don't believe. We pray today will be a day of salvation for those that are really struggling. That they walk in here with absolutely no hope at all. And thinking that, what's this Merry Christmas all about? Everybody seems to be so happy and I'm miserable. Well, they could be transformed today. Hallelujah. Just if they would just step forward and take that first step towards the saving grace of God, they will be saved. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you again for the clothes that you provided and all these real nice gifts that were brought in here this morning. We know all that comes from you. We thank you for the clothes that you provided. And we have an abundance of clothes. We thank you for all the food that's been provided. We ask, Lord, that you bless it to our bodies today. Father, all that's said and all that's done today, we glorify you and we thank you. And we give you the glory and honor and praise in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here's Pastor Todd. He's going to give you a wonderful message from God.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. You know, before we get started here, I was me and Pastor Steve where we were talking this morning, and we were talking about this ministry and the length of this ministry. And do you realize that this ministry has been serving Akron for 22 years? 22 years that we have been in one capacity or other, whether it's in the building, when we were down on Main Street, when we were on Cascade Plaza, to here. One thing has been constant, and that is God's blessing upon this ministry. And the reason that God continues to bless this ministry is really for only one reason, and one reason only. It's because the people that head this ministry are people of integrity, and God blesses those who are integrity. They're doing God's will by coming down here and preaching to people. We're offering spiritual food, offering food for the belly. But most importantly, we're offering Jesus each and every Saturday down here. That's encouraging. So one thing that hasn't changed is the love of people through this ministry. And that's why I believe it's been so successful, because God has looked upon it. He has seen what the people he has appointed to this ministry have done for the community. And he continues to pour his blessing out on it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big old praise offering just for that right there.
Amen.
So here's my question today for each person in here. Whether you don't know the Lord as your Savior, or whether you've been walking with the Lord for 60, 70, 80 years, my question is this. Who are you? Seems kind of a silly question. I'm Todd. You know who I am. But no. Inside, who are you? When people ask that question, what do we tell them? Well, I'm Todd. People lump every person into a certain category, whatever that category may be. You know, everybody in here at some point in your life has been lumped into a category. You're a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're a Lutheran. You're a Baptist. You're black. You're white. We all get lumped into these categories. Some of the categories aren't all that wonderful to hear. How about the one where somebody tells you, you know what? You're a loser. You're a drunk. You're a thief. You're an adulterer. See, we get lumped into these categories, and at some point, we start believing what other people say about us, regardless of whether they're true or not. But sometimes it's just as easy to fall into that trap. You know, he says, I'm a loser. I'm just going to stop trying. You know, when people that we respect and we look up to lump us into a category, we tend to lean on that person of what they say and believe it. So if that person says to you, you know, you're a loser, I think our natural inclination, because we respect that person, is to believe what that person says. Would you agree with that at all? Whoever we trust, whoever we have our faith in, whoever we believe in, we listen to what they say. Whether it's good or bad doesn't matter, but we take what they say to heart. And there are opportunities that we have where that would mold us into something we want to be or don't want to be. So, again, my question is, have you ever just sat down and wondered, who am I? Well, listen to what Scripture says of who you are and who I am. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4, we're going to read it through 10. It says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on me will by no means be put to shame. Verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now hang on to verse 9 and 10 here. It says, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you ever wonder who you are, look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. That'll get you to who you are in Christ. You see, verse 4 tells us that coming to him as a living stone, you know, that is a reference to Christ, the living stone or a foundation. He calls it the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is a stone that is put in a corner of a building to anchor the building right there. You don't just start a building in the middle. You start it on the sides and you build around it. See, he tells us here that Jesus is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. He's elect and he's precious. He tells us that we are also elect. We are also precious. It says here, men rejected him. Men rejected the chief cornerstone. And when they reject him, he becomes a stumbling block to those people. Because we know that Christ is the cornerstone of our lives, or should be. And if he's not, what is he to us? Is he that stumbling block to get in the way of my fun? Or is he the foundation of what I believe? Verse 7, therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, where does the disobedience come? It becomes from rejection, where we reject the grace of God. We reject what Christ has in store for us. But as people, we get rejected all the time. And none of us actually like it. You know, we get rejected whether we're at home, if we're having marriage difficulties and our spouse, you know, rejects us for whatever reason. Home, work, school, we all have those places where somebody has pushed us aside at some point. And what do we do with that? Jesus tells us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're rejected, that's man rejecting you. It's not God. God wants you to be a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. He wants you to be valuable to Him. He wants you to be special to Him. But we're going to have those rejections. But what we cannot do in those rejections is turn our back on the living God, because He is not the one that's rejecting us. There will come a time when we continue to ignore Christ and ignore the things of God, that rejection will come from God. But we choose that rejection. You've heard the phrase, and I can't believe a loving God sends people to hell. How many people have heard that? How many people agree with that? That is a lie straight from the depths of hell. Because God does not send anybody to hell. We make an active choice to live for Christ or to ignore Christ and be destined for hell. You see, that's our choice. That's our choice. And we get that opportunity to make that choice each and every day. So let's get back into the text. What Peter is saying here is, like Jesus, those who come to Him will be rejected by the world. If you remember the story of Peter, Peter rejected Christ on three different occasions. But it tells us in this passage of Scripture, the word precious is used on three separate occasions. So if Peter's saying that because of Christ we are precious, so what does the word precious mean? It's of great value. So he's saying that we are of great value to Christ. Great value. That's a pretty good place to be, don't you think? If Christ puts great value on us, see, God values those who come to Christ because they were expensive to purchase. They cost God the life of His very Son, Jesus Christ, so we could be valuable. Those who come to Christ are as valuable to us as Christ's Son was to Him. You see, when it comes to our valuables in life, if you want to sell something, say I've got a brand new watch I don't wear, and I want to sell that to somebody, what is that worth? It's my asking price is what it is. So if we look at it from that way, when we put a price on something, if that price has great value, and it has a really large price tag on it, that's something that could be valuable. So what is the price tag that God put on Jesus for each one of us to choose Him or to neglect Him? Either way, the price is the same. Jesus Christ died on the cross for each person to walk this earth. Regardless of whether we choose to walk with Him or not, the cost is still the same. He suffered and was tortured on that cross for each person that's in this room, regardless of what you believe. But again, who are you? We are chosen. The idea of us being a chosen race refers to God choosing us to be His special people. We get that way by having a spiritual birth or being born again into the kingdom of God. And as repenting of our sins, and as walking away from our sins, humbling ourselves, seeking the Lord, asking Him into our hearts to be part of our lives, realizing that we can't get through this life on our own, and we need a Savior. That's why we are chosen. Peter says you are a chosen race. You're accepted by God. He chose you. He chose me. He called us by our name. And we all love to be chosen, don't we? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go back into middle school, junior high. You're in gym class, and we're going to pick teams. Anybody remember this? Yeah? So you got the whole class out here, and when they pick captains, what do? They pick the athletic guys and say, okay, you're this team, and you're this team. Okay, go ahead and pick. Okay, I choose this person. Yeah, and he's strutting about, I'm the first one, I'm all that. And then the other guy says, I picked this guy. And they start picking their teams. Don't you feel proud when somebody picks you, even if it's just for a game of dodgeball? So he picks you, you come up. Now, who doesn't get picked out of that group? The very last person standing does not get picked. He's leftovers. He goes to, nobody wants me. Anybody been that last guy? Thank you. Or girl, thank you. But that's not how God works. God works in such a different way. He will go find that last person, that very last person that was standing there. And she said, he says, you know what? I choose you. I want you on my team. See, that's how God works. He wants us all on his team. It's not a publicity contest. It's not who loves more, who gives more. Christ wants us in his family. And the only way to get in that family is to have an open heart, realize the need for a Savior, and accept him into our lives. God chooses you. God chooses me. God chooses Pastor Steve. At this point, it doesn't matter what we think. God wants us into the family. So now, we know that God chooses us. We know what God's Word says about us. Yet, when somebody says, you're a loser, what do? I must be a loser. No! Why do we care what people think? We need to care what God thinks, not what people think. People will lead us down the road straight to the pits of hell. God will lead us up to the throne room of grace. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We dwell on what was. We don't look at what is or could be. We listen to what other people say about us and completely ignore what the Bible says about us. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because it's so much easier to listen to my buddy tell me that I'm a loser than it is to listen to the Almighty God saying, you're not a winner. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are valuable. You are precious to me. But we choose not to believe that. What we need to do when somebody says those things about us, of what they think that we are, your response should be, no, no, that's not true. I am a child of the Most High God. And when we're talking to God, if we're having those feelings of doubt, we're having those feelings of listening to what other people say, when you're talking to God, say, God, you say I am chosen, even though I don't feel chosen. You say I am a holy priesthood, even though I don't feel like it. You say you will give me strength when I feel like I'm weak. Those are the things we need to be saying to God. You say, God, that I am this. I need to start believing that and stop believing what other people say about us. Have you ever thought about yourself as royalty? Ever? Yet that's exactly what we are. We are royalty because when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are engrafted into the kingdom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is the only kingdom that's going to stand forever. That's the only kingdom we need to be part of. And that doesn't mean that our surroundings are going to change. That doesn't mean our circumstances may change. But what will change is my heart and my heart condition when I fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that changes, my decision making will be different. It has to be, because I'm not making decisions as a selfish person. I'm making decisions as a child of God. What else does the Bible say? It says we are holy. Holy means to be set apart. We are set apart from the world, and we're dedicated to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know now that we are chosen, we are royalty, and we are holy. What else does it say? It says we are valuable. How valuable are you? We just talked about it. You were as valuable to God as his son was as he agonized on the cross. We are valuable. It's just unreal how many Christians walk around in shame and guilt over past failures and sins and believing that is their identity in Christ. We don't have to hang on and live in those sins. We can leave it at the foot of Jesus and move on with our lives. But we choose to dwell on that. We choose to believe what other people say about us. That's not what God wants. We have the tendency to take God's complete and perfect forgiveness and filter it through our own filter of logic, through our own filter of what we think, when the only filter that we need to run it through is this one right here, God's Word. Because when we run it through this filter here, it's a whole lot better filter than this one right here. This filter up here is full of garbage. This one is full of the Word of God. Which one do you want to run it through? Amen. The Word of God. So here's a question. How do we get to that point? How do we get to the point where God says, I choose you? See, we have to make that decision on our own. You see, free will does not say God is going to take you and pull you into the family, regardless of whether you want to or not. He gives us free will to make that choice. So, two passages of scriptures I want to talk about. How do we get to the point where we can have that relationship with God? First, we need to repent. We need to do what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. See, he wants us to confess our sins and he will forgive us. And he'll clean us completely of all of our unrighteousness. It doesn't say just part of it. It says all of it. Isn't that what we want? To be cleansed? To be welcomed into the family of God? Romans 10:9-13 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, if you don't listen to anything else I'm telling you today, listen to this. Verse 13 of Romans 10, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nothing else matters. Whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. We need to stop listening to other people. We need to start listening to what God says we are. And when God moves in our heart and we feel that movement in our heart, we need to act upon it. I've got a video I want to show you real quick. When you're doubting where you're at in life, when you're doubting what God thinks of you, when you have those doubts in your quiet time of, God, I'm a mess, God will tell you, no, you're not. You're mine.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, oh, you You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
So the question is, once again, who are you? Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity that you give us each moment of the day to worship you. Father, we ask those that are here this morning that may not know you as their Savior to be drawn to you by your presence and your Holy Spirit, to feel that tug of your still small voice saying, I am all you need. Stop listening to the cares of the world and focus on me. So, Father, we give those people to you now, Lord. We ask for your continued blessing on this ministry. We ask you to continue to touch hearts the way that you do and to convict us where we need convicted, to send us an encourager when we need encouraged. Send us somebody that will build us up in our lives and not tear us down. And Lord, help us to continue to believe what you say about us, that we are chosen, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation. And stop listening to the world when they tell us we don't meet up to God's expectations. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunities that we have once again to proclaim your word, to offer up spiritual food for the spiritually hungry and physical food for the physical hungry. And Father, we'll just give you all the praise, honor, glory, and due. And Lord, we ask that those that may be feeling that tug from you now would walk up here to the front to seek out somebody to help them pray and to help with that relationship with you. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor for that. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed for food.